Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon?
Thank God for mothers and grandmothers.
Encourage you to follow along your sermon outline as you find it in your handout as we consider this theme. In Proverbs 31, verse 30, King Solomon says this, "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who trusts in the Lord is to be praised." And in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, old Pastor Paul says these words to young Pastor Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt with your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now dwells in you." Well, let me ask you this morning a question that was asked many centuries ago. What is the strongest thing in the entire world? When this question was asked, Darius, the ancient king of Persia, in 500 BC, this is what Darius said. "The strongest thing in the world? Easy," he said. "The strongest thing in the world is a woman. Women are the strongest. They give birth to men. They nurture men. They clothe men. Men give up a fortune looking for a woman, and men lose their heads over women. Almighty God has established motherhood and the office of being a woman as a holy and demanding calling." And today, on Mother's Day, we're speaking to all women, whether mothers or not. Being a mother, of course, is a lot more than just giving birth. It involves the holy task of caring for house and husband, children and loved ones. The old saying, "Every mother is a working mother," applies to all women, whether they have a job outside of the household or not. And God's holy word, the Holy Scripture, is filled with praises for women. Listen to these passages. Just a sampling. Proverbs 12, verse 4. "A good wife is the crown of her husband." Proverbs 18, 22. "He who finds a good wife obtains favors from the Lord." Proverbs 31:10, "A good wife is more precious than jewels." Proverbs 31:28, about a godly woman, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Proverbs 31:30, we read earlier, "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And again, one more time from Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, Paul says, "Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother Eunice, your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now dwells in you." Godly women, you are a gift from God and indeed great. But before your heads get too big, before you become too proud, there's another biblical truth we all need to be reminded of today. Women, mothers, men, children, all of us, we are sinners in need of forgiveness. St. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, "All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." There's no clear evidence in the world today of our sin and our falling away from God than as we see the evidence in broken homes and families and marriages and relationships. Who here has not been affected some way by brokenness in families due to sin? This is true for all women, all men, all children, who not only face our own sinfulness, but today we face a world and a society that is growing more hostile every day to anything godly and any godly value or standard in the home. But the age-old truth of Scripture is this. And take this home with you. Pack it and take it home today with you. God is ready and able and willing to strengthen all of us, especially women and mothers, as we turn our hearts to Him. We remember Hannah. Hannah, mother of Samuel, that great man of God. Hannah, for many years, had been barren, unable to have children. She desperately wanted a son, and this was just more than a woman's natural desire. In her day, a woman without a child was considered by many to be useless, worthless, damaged goods. But certainly children were the only form of age-old security then, when there were no government pensions. So we see Hannah fervently seeking God in prayer, and God answers. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 1. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She made a vow, "Lord God Almighty, if you only look down upon your servant's misery and remember me and give me a son, I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life." The Lord remembered Hannah. So Elkanah lay with his wife, Hannah, and in time she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, which means God heard, because I asked the Lord for him, and God heard my prayer. Now, this account in Scripture is not to say that God will always give us everything we ask for. He knows better than that. It does mean, though, that God will honor those who sincerely turn their hearts to Him. It's up to God to finally do for us what He knows is best for us. But we also remember from the pages of Holy Scripture an unnamed Canaanite woman. Canaanites were sworn enemies of the Jewish people. Canaanites lived on the wrong side of the tracks. If you were a Canaanite, Jewish people called you a Canaanite dog, and they would rather spit at you than look at you. Yet a Canaanite woman in the Holy Scripture, whose name we'll never know, one day came to Jesus with a very simple request. She said, "Lord Jesus, please heal my daughter." The loving mother would not give up until Jesus helped her daughter. Listen to the text from Matthew 15. A Canaanite woman came to Jesus crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly." And Jesus did not answer a word. His disciples urged him to send her away, for she was a Canaanite. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she cried. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." She replied, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. All throughout the Bible, and we don't have time to talk about all the passages, God reveals Himself as a God who especially is looking after women and mothers. In the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the Psalms is like the hymn book of the Old Testament saints of God, the hymn book in the book of Psalms. Listen to what it says about barren women who don't have children. In Psalm 113, God's greatness is measured by His care for those in need. Listen to Psalm 113. "Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look upon the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust heap. He lifts the needy people from their needs. He seats them with princes. He settles the barren woman in her home, making her a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. We mentioned this to the children earlier. Consider Jesus' care for his own mother. Wasn't it delightful the children knew Jesus' mommy's name? In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we see the account of our Lord Jesus on the cross, paying for the very sins of the world. In the midst of his own suffering, as he's close to his own death because of sinful men, his thoughts are for his mother. In his dying moments, he asked the Apostle John to take care of his mother Mary. Mary's husband Joseph was already dead, and soon her son Jesus would be dead. Listen to these precious words from John 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw his mother standing there, and the disciple John, whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. And continuing and also now ending our theme about women and mothers, here's a beautiful reality of the Bible that most people have overlooked. God's love for us is time after time in the Bible compared to a mother's love for children. Did you catch that? In Holy Scripture, Almighty God compares himself to a woman, to a mother. You women should be flattered. Listen to what he said. In Isaiah 49, God compares himself to a nursing mother with a baby at her breast. The people of Judah at this time, Isaiah writes, are in captivity in Babylon. They feel abandoned by God like God doesn't care. Listen to Isaiah's words from chapter 49. The people have said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." But God says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born, though she may forget? I will never forget you, says the Lord. Your names have been engraved in the palms of my hands." Did you catch that? Good news for the people of Judah and for you and me today, for anybody here today who feels alone in their pain, who feels abandoned by their God in times of difficulty, hear the word of the Lord. God says, "I have not forgotten you." Then to emphasize this truth, he compares himself to a nursing mother. He asks the question that demands a no answer. His question is, do you think a nursing mother could abandon her newborn baby at her breast and cast him aside? Of course not. But God goes on to say, even if this unthinkable thing could happen, I will never abandon you. My love for you is stronger than a mother's love for her nursing baby. And as if that weren't enough, God adds another assurance in this text. He says, "And your names are engraved in the palms of my hands." What does that mean? An ancient custom of peoples around Israel at this time were to tattoo or to engrave into the palms of their hands the names of their false gods or idols they served, or of whom they should be afraid, to remind them, "I belong to this God and I better obey or he's going to get me." Well, Almighty God turns this thing around 180 degrees to assure his people of his love and care for them. God says to them, "I have engraved your names into the palms of my hands. A graphic way of telling them that they are always on his mind, that he will not forget them. Can you imagine Almighty God looking into the palms of his hands and saying, Brad Pelling, you're written right there. God, Almighty God, looking into his hands and saying, Carol Oliver, your name is written right there. God Almighty, looking into the palm of his hands and saying, Herb Esha, your name is written right there. Now I ask you, when and where did Almighty God engrave you into the palms of his hands? I can think of no better place and no better time than when our Lord was crucified on that cross. When Jesus was crucified on the cross to pay for your sins and the sins of the world, when he allowed sinful men to nail his hands and feet to that cross, when the nails pierced his precious hands, who was on his mind? Of whom was he thinking? Who did he not forget? You and me. As those nails pierced his holy hands, as hammers engraved those spikes into his flesh, he was thinking of you, Henry Chung. He was thinking of you, Stella Lai. Joel Rumsch, he was thinking of you. Your names, my names, were engraved into the palms of his hands. In Isaiah chapter 66, God's love now is compared to a playful, joyful mother. Again, listen to the text. For you will be nursed and satisfied at her comforting breasts. You'll be carried in her arms and dandled on her knees as a mother comforts her child. So I will comfort you, declares the Lord God Almighty. The phrase, dandled on her knees, is an old expression. In the dictionary, to dandle somebody on your knees means, I quote, to play and bounce up and down in an affectionate way. Oh, I'm sure your mother did this with you. Mine did it with me, putting me on her knees as she's sitting down and giving me a horsey ride as I bounce up and down on her knees. Did you catch that? In Holy Scripture, God compares himself to a loving, faithful mother who is bouncing us on our knees, giving us a horsey ride because he loves us so. One last passage for today. By the way, you women and you mothers, I hope you feel treasured and honored today. This is just a sample of the Holy Scripture of God's love for women and how he compares his own love the love of a woman. Last passage is Luke 13. Here our own Lord Jesus compares his love for sinners who want nothing to do with him with the love of a mother hen and her baby chicks. The image is of a mama chicken trying to gather all her little chicks under her wings to protect her, to protect them against like a fox or a coyote. Listen to what Jesus says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Of course, Jesus' love today continues for those who want nothing to do with him. Like a mother's love for her children who have turned away from her. Like a mother hen's love for her chicks who just won't come for protection. Oh, the love of our Savior for our unbelieving family members, our friends and our neighbors. And oh, the love of our Savior for sinners like you and me. Today on Mother's Day, yes, we give God thanks for godly women and their love for us. But even more, we give thanks to God that his love for us is even far greater than a mother's love. All praise and honor and glory be to Him. In the name of Jesus. Amen.